is Davin's Den.
And we are back. Second segment of Davin's Den. We appreciate you hanging with us on the last show of 2021. I want to know if you guys noticed this or not before we get into the stories. There is somebody who I know. Joe knows this person too. They're actually a good person, but they put so much hate out there on social media. And I know for a fact this person has had a terrible year. I'm not one to believe in karma or anything, but like, have you noticed that? Like, some people like just put out so much bad shit, and more bad shit happens to them instead of just either not putting it out. Some people are really great at, no matter what's going out, putting out positive stuff. I notice when I put out positive stuff on social media, not about personal stuff, but just like stories or whatnot, never gets any fucking comments. I know negative stuff on social media gets a ton more comments, but do you think there's anything to that? Putting out so just continuous, so much negative energy, so much anger, so much hate. Do you think in some way it comes back?
It depends what's going on in your life. I mean, when I was going through my divorce and everything like that, and I was going through that period I was going through, I was putting out some nasty shit because I was not thrilled with anything, you know? So it depends. I'll see, you know, how you change. Now, look at this year. You know, I said, well, how was your year? It was pretty good. There was a couple of things that was going on Christmas Eve that I wanted to put out that was kind of snarky with some of the stuff that was going on in the shows. You know, this one guy that he never tips, and it's five times in a row he hasn't tipped. You know, I'm like Santa Claus tonight. I don't want to read that shit. You know, so it's, fuck it, you know. So it depends your mood. It depends what's going on in your life at that certain time.
Yeah, but listen, I get it when some bad shit's going on and you put out some negative stuff. I mean, I generally don't. But I'm talking about somebody in particular, and you and I can talk about it off air, Joe. But every fucking day, it's just fucking negative, nasty shit. And this person has had a really tough stretch. And I reached out to this person offline. With people who I know, I tend not to put stuff online, you know, or even with birthdays. But, you know, if they're going through some tough stuff, I'll either send them a private message or I'll text them or I'll call. But, I mean, this person has had a really shit string. And this person's a good person, but just constant negative shit or, like, just anger. It's like, dude, maybe it means nothing.
Well, I don't know, but sometimes you get a break. Cause like usually, you know, with the stuff that we post, it's political, and you know, we're going, you know, with people on, you know, Facebook are going back and forth and back and forth about, you know, the vaccine, political this, political that. I've been going on this because Genesis, you know, with Genesis in town this month, you know, I've been on all the Genesis sites, and we've been going, but it's friendly. It's such a refreshing change.
I'll give you an example. This wasn't even negative shit. I was actually, I actually posted something, but then I took it off right afterwards before anybody commented. So I posted, because Donald Trump went after the far right about the vaccines. He was actually standing up to his base. And I put, a Donald Trump that is not afraid of his base is a very powerful Donald Trump. And I truly mean that. And I've said that from the beginning. I said this guy was in such a position to do so much good for this country just because of the fanaticism. But I took it down. And it wasn't a slam on Trump at all. I was actually praising him. And I'm like, you know what? I don't feel like getting into this whole fucking political thing and getting all involved. I'm just
That's like with me, too. You know, if I see a post, I'm like, I don't feel like it. I don't feel like doing a read. But there were times where I'm like, game on, motherfucker. You know, so it depends. You know, it depends on your mood any given day. There were a lot I don't feel like it's hard for it. But then there was something like, all right, game on. You know, I'll have to sit in the read.
Dude.
But game on. You know, so it depends, man.
This person is constantly game on. And then I see them go after people on his page and all. And like I said, this is a good person. But they're just, now they don't think they're in a dark place. But I'll tell you, they're in a fucking dark place, and they've had a really bad string of luck as far as losing
love. There's a buddy of mine, I'm not going to mention his name, but him and I went at it and at it and at it. And he's a sweet guy. He's a very sweet man, but he could be fucking nasty on social media. I mean, I've loved the guy since we met, you know, and started doing stand-up. But, and we had a big to-do, we made up of, and he's a sweet man. But he could come up very fucking nasty. You know, what are you going to do, you know?
I think at some point, it's just beneficial for yourself, for selfish reasons, to put out some good shit. I don't know if it means anything. It probably doesn't mean anything.
You want to know something? It may be the way somebody words it. Davin, I'm not saying the way you post up, but there have been occasions that you'll text me something, and I'm like, and it hits me the wrong way, the way you'll word something. And then I'll call you about it, and I'm like, no, I didn't even mean it that way. You know, so sometimes and like I'm not picking on you, dude, but sometimes people write words sometimes.
Yeah, no, but this person, this,
you know, it's not meant that way.
No, this person means it that way, trust me. I see them go after people. They mean it as fucking nasty, as mean spirited, as cold as it can be. I don't know, man.
That's their problem, you know?
Yeah, man,
I mean, if they're going to portray themselves in a not in a light that they usually are in, you know what they're going to do?
And then last thing on this, then I'll move on. Listen, Donald Trump was a concern to me. Now, Joe might think, you know, I'm being ridiculous, and that's fine. But, you know, he was affecting how I felt about things. That being said, I still tried to be positive and nice to people and not be a complete dick to people. I mean, there were things that Trump did that completely soured my mood. That, yes, I lost sleep over. And Joe would tell, I'm being fucking ridiculous. That's fine. Don't need to go in it now. I'm just telling you how I felt at times during that administration. But still, I wasn't trying to put out negative shit every fucking day. At some point, you know, I wasn't wishing ill on people. I don't know. I just think it's easier to be nice, I think.
Well, it depends on the person. I'm sorry, Pip. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. That's okay. I was just going to say that. Ooh, that would have spilled.
That's what you were going
to
say?
Ooh.
Yikes. Ooh.
Glad we stopped the show for that.
I was just going to say that. You know, I think that. You know, I don't want to sound too new agey or like loopy here, but you know, I think that the world is made of energy, and it's kind of, in my own way, I think you're putting out positive vibes, positive energy, that it's got to affect the polarity of everything somehow. It's like, I know that it affects people's moods, and when you're being positive or being kind, that it seems to have a greater benefit for everybody and yourself than throwing all the bile out. I mean, like, the same thing, there were some things that happened during the last administration that just completely set me off, and I was like, ah! And so I would just be barraging on, you know, social media about it, and I'm like, what am I doing except getting myself all upset and, you know, starting shenanigans with people that don't agree with me? And it was just like, you know, my bile was up, so was theirs. It's like, what is this affecting, really? Except, you know, my giving me ulcers. And, you know, it's so much better. I mean, maybe it's not as much fun for some people to read, but it's so much better to go into, you know, being nice. And I really do try to be nice. Of course, here, you know, the gloves are off. But, I mean, you know, I try to be nicer or to be empathetic more than nasty.
There was one situation where I said, it's like sometimes I don't mind, but sometimes I'm up for a battle. Now, Bed Bath & Beyond.
I did not see that. I did not see Bed Bath & Beyond being the subject of your ire.
Thank you. No, I didn't see that coming either, but please go on.
The subject of ire, where if I came under scrutiny, I would have, you know, I had the perfect explanation. Bed Bath & Beyond had this gay couple, these men dressed in like these plaid pajamas, sitting in bed. I guess one was white and one was black. and they had a little African American boy, you know, in the bed, which probably was the son. And they're sitting there, and people go, "Oh, that's so great! That's so great!" That, and I said, "I'm sorry, you couldn't fit an Asian and an Indian person in there as well." And my whole thing was is that they could not. I didn't have a problem with showing a gay couple. That's none of my business. But it was so over the top, blatant that they were pandering to the gay community.
Can I tell you what a good Can I tell you what a good person I am? I saw that post, and I almost posted, "Hey, stupid, Indians are Asians," but I did not. That's how good of a person I am.
But did you see the crux of my post?
Joe, do you realize who shops at Bed Bath & Beyond?
Fair point. Fair point.
Women and the gays.
She's got a point,
Joe. I know, because I'm there with my people.
She has a point.
Tell them why they charge us $50 for a fucking kitchen garbage can. That's what you should be.
You know what, that I have not been able to answer.
But that's a different... But they give you a 20% off coupon, Joe. So only a moron pays full price. Everybody gets 20% coupons.
I told him to go to hell. I walked out and went to Walmart.
All right, you showed that. Yeah, I saw that post. I saw that post. I got the gist of what you were saying, and I also thought, Joe's more enlightened than that. And that might have been my mistake. But either way, I walked away. I'm like,
they needed to be called out because they were overly pandering. It was blatant.
Or as Pip
Joe,
said,
I just have to point out who shops at Walmart.
And even if he said, "Now you take that same picture," and it was just from not a corporate entity, just somebody, and it said "Celebrate Diversity." I'm like, okay, fine, to each his own. But when you have Bed Bath & Beyond just fucking going ass over tea kettle to shove this down your throat where it's so blatant, you'd be called out on that. They don't care.
Yeah. But again, I would go, who the fuck cares? Why do you care? But
the thing is, for a big segment of society, that was fucking normal. Okay? There was nothing shoving it down your throat. It just, that's real life. And they're showing real life.
And to be fair, another segment of society is, that's completely unrealistic. I get Joe's point.
My thing was, it wasn't, I'm not saying it was unrealistic. I'm not saying that. It's just so blatantly pandering.
Well, I think Pip had the point, and then we will move on. Joe, who do you think shopping there? That's called, that advertising is exactly on point. Yeah.
But you want to know something? Now, to go back, and we'll move on right after this. It's quick. Go back to what you were saying. You know, you go, really? Why? Because sometimes you could care less, and sometimes you go, all right, we're going to stop for a minute. You know, and it goes back to the beginning part of the conversation, you know?
And like I said,
I
showed the restraint by not calling out how stupid your comment was about Indians and Asians on a stupid fucking thing and just moved on, and I never would have... But I really could have taken a lot of the fucking steam out of that fucking post. Go, really, moron? Maybe you should focus on this aspect. But I didn't. But on another day, to Joe's point, I might have stopped my fucking day and made the comment and gotten into him. So I get what he's saying.
And then we would have gone back and forth for 30 minutes.
Because really there is, for that point, there is no place for Joe to go. Yeah, when you Indians...
What was on that? Say, what, was, is Indian is the same as Asian?
Indians are Asians. That's the continent, yes.
Yeah, but you can't say Chinese or anything like that because people will hit the roof if you say. You got to be politically correct.
No, you could say Chinese people. You can't say chinks.
God almighty, then, oh, God.
No, Joe, you can't say chink. You can't say gook. You can't say rice eater. You can say Chinese. You can say Chinese.
Except if you're talking about Koreans.
My fangs were at Bed Bath & Beyond pandering, not the situation that they were showing. You know?
I don't know, Joe. Joe, maybe if they would have given you the family's origin story, you would have felt better about it. Maybe you just needed more from that ad.
Well, and Bed Bath & Beyond still stinks because they should have had a preamble.
Their fault. But Joe, this will appeal to you, to your Scottish heritage. Maybe they were just trying to save money and not give the whole fucking origin story of it.
I appreciate that.
See, exactly. I'm a peacemaker at the end of 2021. All right, let's move on.
All right.
Okay. Wow, okay.
Wow, he's not feeling well.
A Louisiana judge will temporarily step down from the bench after she was caught on video dropping the N-word. Like dropping it. Like it's a new fucking album, and she's a singer. She's dropping the N-word. And calling an alleged black burglar a roach, according to her attorney. Lafayette City Court Judge Michelle Odinette is resisting calls to resign, but agreed to take a period of leave without pay after a home video surfaced on Monday showing her family watching home video of a foiled car burglary in their driveway. Odinette's voice is heard on the clip using a racial slur, attorney Dane Cialino confirmed to the outlet. The judge's family had been watching the security footage like it was the Super Bowl of a Saturday burglary in which a black man, Robert Handy, or Hanzy as the case may be, was charged with two counts of simple burglary at the family's home. The footage first reported by The Current, a nonprofit news organization in Lafayette, makes multiple references to mom and her role as the burglary unfolds. And mom's yelling, N, that's the word, the N-word, I'm just not saying it.
Yes.
A male voice says on the clip, "We have an N, it's an N, like a roach," a female responds. Oh my goodness. Odinette, who has two sets of twin children, told The Current in a statement that she and her family were the victims of an armed burglary, although a police report made no mention of Handy having a weapon. She said, well, if his name is Handy, it's reasonable to imagine that he's Army, too. But I digress. The judge said the incident shook her to the core, leaving her unable to sleep. She also claimed she had taken a sedative prior to the recording of the footage. Unfortunately, it did not affect her mouth. I have zero recollection of the video and the disturbing language used during it. You better have some recollections who's leaking this shit, stupid. Odinette said in a statement, anyone who knows me and my husband knows this is contrary to the way we live our lives. Usually when I say the N-word, there's not a camera around. I'm deeply sorry and ask for your forgiveness. And understanding as my family and I deal with the emotional aftermath of this armed burglary and of the emotional aftermath of my mouth. Calls for Odinette to resign, including from Lafayette's NAACP chapter, began shortly after the footage started circulating on Monday. Community organizers later filed complaints with the Louisiana Judiciary Committee Commission beginning early Tuesday. At least one Lafayette law firm has asked Odinette to recuse herself from two of their defendants' cases. As a proud black man and the Lafayette City Marshal, I strongly believe Judge Odinette should be held accountable, City Marshal Reggie Thomas said Tuesday. People of color will find it impossible to believe they will be treated fairly in Odinette's courtroom. This type of language cannot be accepted or tolerated by anyone, especially who serve as leaders in our city. It is up to Judge Odinette to remember the oath she took, and should she remain on the bench, find a way to gain back the trust of all of Lafayette, especially African Americans. Joe suggests maybe participate in a Bed Bath & Beyond commercial. A mere ineffectual weak apology will not suffice. State Senator General Gerald Boudreau, a Democrat, said he will call on the state's Judiciary Commission to look into footage. This situation and the comments are reprehensible, offensive, and totally unacceptable from anyone serving as a judge. The comments fail to identify any form of limitation and cast a cloud relative to the impartiality of the judge to serve as an unbiased arbitrator in case involving African Americans. Odinette, a Republican who was elected to a 6-year term in November, we'll see how long that lasts, is humiliated, embarrassed, and sorry for what she has done because she got caught and the harm she has caused to her community and her career, Cialana told the Acadia Advocate. All right.
So much. The harm she's done to her career.
What happens in the long term is something she's going to think about in the weeks to come. She's going to have time. All right. First of all, she's got to go. You can't have a person in a position of authority on tape using racial slurs. You can't, no matter what the race is, because you're not going to be looked at as impartial, no matter whatever your whole history is, all the good deeds you've done. When you got that stuff on tape, you got to go. The second thing is, let's not blame sedatives and like people like blame alcohol for their racism. The only thing you can blame for racism is traffic. Because when traffic's a problem, I'm using all the worst terms. I understand traffic. I understand using terrible terms in traffic. I call my own people horrible things in traffic. But well, because they're really terrible drivers, some of them. But I mean,
they were breaking into her house.
And they were in the this person was in the driveway trying to steal.
They're trying to steal the car.
Trying to steal the car. Now, yeah, and they're watching the video. And her default is, hey, if it was me and somebody, I'd be, look at this motherfucker. Get that motherfucker. Look at this.
You know what? She gets a pass because that's exactly what it was, breaking into her car. And let me tell you something, from somebody that's been in two situations dealing with an element of society that don't care and have no concern about people, that's exactly what it was. If it was something else where she was looking at another case, yeah. But the breaking into her property, threatening her security, you know what? You give her a pass.
Now, but see, the thing. You can't give her a pass because of the position. She holds people's future in her hands. She's not... The whole point...
If it's not her house, then who cares? You know? I mean, if it's not her house...
No, but But
you're in a situation where somebody's breaking into your property trying to steal your car. I don't care who you are. You're going to sit there and you're going to react that same way.
No, that's not true.
Whatever.
That's not true. I don't think.
That's true.
No, I think a person who genuinely is not racist, that is not their default. That's not their default. When you have those feelings, that's your default. Now, what happened is, listen, it's a moment of angst. It's a moment of terror and fear. I give you all of that. And if it was another job, if she was a garbage collector and this came out, I'd go to Joe's point of view, go, listen, it's a bad moment. It's not nice. Let's look at their deeds. I get it. I'd say, you know what? They can keep the job. When you're a judge, when you're an elected official, it's a different thing, man. You're held to a higher standard. You can't do that stuff. You just can't. That's the gig. That is the gig. So that's why she's got it.
If somebody's trying to break into your house and it's an urgent situation, I think you give them a pass.
Well, I'm not. Well, I'd give you a pass.
I've been in two urgent situations where I saw somebody run over a kid. I chased them down, jumped into a car with other people that had drugs in the car. And you know what? That's what they were. Exactly what they were.
Okay. Well, two things.
I'm going to go, great. Tell me what you want. But this is a part of society. That's what they are.
All right, two things. First of all, hitting and running with a child is different. It's different than burglary. That's the first point. Much different. Second point is you're
not when it's in your house.
Absolutely, I've had shit stolen from my car. And second,
it's different.
And second,
not different.
Second, you're a comic and you sell plumbing supplies. You're not a judge, Pip. What do you say?
Well, I mean, I think it's going to be obvious what I'm going to say. The thing is that if somebody's breaking into my house, you bastard, you motherfucker, you scumbag. But, I mean, you know, I'm not going to start, like, with racial epithets at them because, you know, then I'm showing my true colors. I'm showing what I really think. And me, my day job, it doesn't... You know, it's not going to affect anything. I mean, it'll upset a lot of my coworkers, but it's not going to be like all society is looking at me and going, she can't possibly do that anymore because now she's shown her bias.
It's like what I said.
You know?
Remember when we did the John Gruden story, who was the coach of the Raiders, and all those emails came out with him using racist terms and homophobic terms and misogynistic terms. And people with brain damage. Remember what I said? I said the guy is in a position of leadership. He can no longer do that position. Forget it. Because of all those things, he has compromised himself. Whether it's fair or not fair, Joe's saying it's not fair. That's fine. Joe can feel that way. But when you compromise yourself in such a way, and you're in a position of leadership, whether it be a leader among men, a coach, or a judge. How can you keep the job?
Because if somebody cuts you off in traffic and you say that, it's wrong. If there is a burglary going on in your property and you feel threatened Hey.
Joe, that wasn't even her excuse. Her excuse was I took a sedative. What? What? I don't know. She seemed full of energy in the fucking audio tape, if you listen to it. She didn't seem very sedated then. She's not even owning it.
She was backpedaling. She should have been honest.
But she's not honest. She's not owning it. She's not even giving your excuse. Listen, it was wrong. I was scared. I wish I didn't say it. I got to do the...
She should have gave that.
But she's not.
She's a lot more viable than the one that she gave.
Exactly. Which just proves my point. You can't trust this person. This person's a liar. She's full of shit. She's not taking ownership of it. At least in your scenario, you're taking ownership of it. You go, listen, it's wrong.
All right, agreed on that.
And in her position, when she's weighing sentences, because that's what judges do, a lot of the things that they weigh is how much is the defendant taking ownership of their situation. Do they really seem contrite, or are they contrite because they got caught? She seems upset because she got caught. She doesn't seem upset about what happened, which is why I read the story I did. If she was before herself, you know, as a judge, this person's full of shit right here. Give them the maximum. This person's not upset. They were upset. They got caught. She's making all the excuses. She didn't even give the Joe excuse. I was scared. This is terrible. This is the worst. She didn't even give that. Oh, I was sedated.
Well, look, where she said I have zero recollection of the video and the disturbing language used during it, Odinette said in a statement, anyone who knows me and my husband knows that contrary to the way we live our lives, and I'm deeply sorry and ask for your forgiveness and understand. You know, we just went back to where I called out Bed Bath & Beyond for pandering, and this is pandering right here. So in that case, you should have been straight up with it instead of issuing this statement, which you know is horseshit.
Right. So now what we have is we have a coward, we have a liar, and we have someone who may or may not be racist, but the default when scared was to use racial words. So that's the person who you want to give a pass to, and I say I can't give this person a pass. This person is not fit to be a judge for 6 years, Joe. She just started her term. 6 years. She has disqualified herself. She's not even throwing herself on the mercy of the people. Oh, the sedative. Nay, nay. I've been drunk before in the day. Nobody's ever heard me say horrible things when I'm drunk. I sleep when I'm drunk.
Well, here's the thing. Do you guys remember when Roseanne got called out for the racist tweets? And her excuse was, I took an Ambien. And the maker of Ambien came back and said, Ambien does not cause racism.
Right.
And here's the same thing. They're going, oh, I took a pill. It doesn't make you racist.
No.
What's in you already pops out. So if these are your thoughts, how could anybody, like the guy from the NAACP said, how could anybody stand in her court and feel like they're getting a fair shake if these are the words that fly out of her mouth under duress?
And that's the problem. You know,
the problem.
They're not robbing her house. They're fine.
But Joe, that's the problem. In your line of work, there's a video of you coming out. Not great that you use those words, but you're not affecting anybody's future in your line of work. You know, whether you're racist or not really doesn't affect your job performance. Whether people perceive you as racist or not, it doesn't really affect other people's lives and job performance. This is a unique job. You can't do that. It's the same way if a teacher, it's not even the same, this is worse than if a teacher is perceived as racist. I'm sorry. She's got to go. And as the one thing we all agree on, her answer is horseshit. So that's just another reason. That's just another reason. So, sorry. Too bad, so sad, bye-bye. She's got to go. I'm sorry. You can't do that shit. You can't. But if I was her, I'd be like, I'm going to spend every waking moment to find out who released that video. That's what I'd be doing with my time.
It's just like you can't have any unscrupulous, and I mean, it's the job. It's not fair for every single human being to be judged by that high of a standard. But the thing is, as a judge, you have to be impartial. You are going to be held to that high standard. That's the job.
Here's the way you could really sway me on this, all right? So basically, the home video surfaced Monday showing her family watching home video of a foil car burglary in their driveway. Now, if they were still watching this in real time, I would say, you know what? This is in the heat of the moment, watching this. If this was watched later on, it kind of changes the situation because the situation is now that situation of emotion is past.
That's an excellent point. That's an excellent point, and I feel like that's how it was happened. I feel like they were watching it in later time. I could be wrong, but that's
if there was. But if you're not, I'm sitting right next to the two of you. You know, on this, if it was happening in real time, then I still had that sense of being invaded. You know. So to speak, that emotional thing where you're just, you know.
Here's the thing. Here's the thing. If she would have called him a roach and not used the N-word, you know, first of all, she used it multiple times. But if she just called him a roach and she was getting shit for that, oh, he's a black man, you call him a roach, I'd be with you. Go, stop it. He's a roach because this is the lowest form of life. She feels robbed, betrayed, you know. I would be with Joe on that. But when you go N-word, 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 and he's a roach, I'm sorry. She's like, you know what you're doing. You know, and you think you're safe. You think you're safe to be the racist.
Yeah, and like I was saying, if it was happening in real time, I'm like, hey, look, somebody's breaking into a house. You watch it an hour later. Well, now you got problems. You know, that is problems.
All right, let's move on. A Texas restaurant owner booted a family wearing masks to protect their immunocompromised son, saying it was political. CBS WF reported. Natalie Wester and her husband brought their four-month-old son to Hang Time Restaurant and Bar in Rowlett, Texas, just northeast of Dallas. Wester told CBS DWF that her son is immunocompromised, leading the couple to don masks inside the venue out of precaution. Hang Time's owner didn't approve. Wester said their waitress approached the family at the behest of the restaurant owner and said, "This is political, and I need you to take your mask off. And it's not even Halloween." I feel the overall reaction with masks is ridiculous in the United States right now, Hang Time's owner said. The owner told CBS DWF that going maskless was part of the restaurant's dress code, and he had the right to refuse to serve customers breaking his rules. But Hang Time's anti-masking dress code wasn't posted outside the restaurant. The restaurant owner told CBS DWF that he didn't know the Wester's son was immunocompromised, but said he'd continue to enforce Hang Time's no-masking policy. All right, this was my blog. First of all, the fact that anybody thinks this is political, as I've said many times, shows how stupid they are. Second of all, this guy made it political. If you didn't want it to be the owner made it political. If you didn't want it to be political, and there's no mask mandate by the state, and there wasn't, wear a mask, don't wear a mask. I don't want to be involved in the politics of it. We don't have a masking policy. So if you want to wear one, we get it. If you don't want to wear one, we get it. This guy is clearly anti-mask, and he's making it political. Now, also, I pointed this out in my blog. A mask is nothing more than a tool. And I did a little research. If you are immunocompromised, at least when it comes to hiring people, that is protected by the American Disability Act. So if somebody's immunocompromised and they need to wear a mask, you have to allow them to wear a mask. So he better hope that these people aren't litigious. Second of all, if somebody comes in and they're handicapped in a wheelchair, you could never say wheelchairs are political. Get out of here with your wheelchair. A wheelchair, in this instance, is the same as a mask unless you make it something else. A wheelchair is a tool. A mask is a tool. So this family is trying to protect their kid, and you can wonder why the hell they're going into a restaurant, but that was never really talked about in here. They're trying to do it. If these people are litigious, I think this guy's fucked. And I don't understand the anti-masking policy. I get it. You don't want to wear a mask for yourself. I get it. But I don't understand why you give a shit why other people wear a mask. And if that was your rule, pardon me.
You need a mask.
I need a mask. I do.
For another. What a badly timed cough that was.
Up until tomorrow, I do.
For that to show up. and that's a COVID cough, too.
No, it wasn't. It is, technically. Technically, it is. But put the sign outside, stupid. So, I mean, this guy fucked up. This guy's an asshole, and he better hope this couple is not litigious. Because if they sue, this guy could lose his fucking Hang Time. What a dumb motherfucker. Who cares if the people are wearing a mask? And another point I had in there is, especially, and this is from a couple months ago, especially coming out of what the restaurant industry has come out of with the worst of the pandemic, and we're entering a bad time again, you would think you would want every customer possible. Is this the hill you want to die on? We're the anti-masking place, and we're kicking out people who are wearing a mask who aren't bothering anybody. Is that really what you're going to do? Is that going to get you the most people? Or you could just shut the fuck up and not care one way or the other. I don't know.
I've got nothing to say because you said it all. So there's nothing I can add.
Okay.
Actually, here's the thing. Yes, the ADA says that you're not allowed to keep people from, you know, who are compromised from using whatever they need, like, you know, a wheelchair or a guide dog, whatever. You're not allowed to restrict. But we have been saying all along that when unmasked people want to go into stores and they say, no, you're not allowed in here without a mask, and they'll fight tooth and nail to get them out of there. And the people say, I have a medical reason why I can't wear one. The ADA says, yada, yada. They're like, no, get out. And we have always stood on the side of, it is not public property. They have every right to say that they're not allowed in there unmasked.
Right,
why is that not true now?
Well, if this kid was an immunocompromised, say it's me walking in there, and he kicks me out for not wearing a mask, I don't have an excuse. You know, I don't have a medical reason. It is his place. Post the fucking sign outside. Stupid. I'd be fine with it. But we have somebody who is immunocompromised. That's what makes the story interesting.
But what's to say that those people who were saying, get me wrong, I think they're assholes.
And
unmasked people saying,
and
you can't keep me out.
And masks are proven to work. So you are actually being considerate of other people, keeping other people safe if you are wearing a mask.
I know that, but what I'm saying is that the owner has the right to not serve.
Not if you're, well, first of all, put the sign outside. Put the sign outside.
Yeah,
so
they should have put the sign outside,
and,
first of all.
And listen, if somebody's immunocompromised and they can't wear a mask, I'd say you have to let them what you could do is you make accommodations for them. That's what they've done in these cases. They go, oh, I've seen this. Okay, you're immunocompromised. You can't come in here. Tell us what you want, and we'll bring it to you in the car. They make accommodations. You don't necessarily get the same exact treatment, but they make accommodations. So if this guy was going to say, listen, you can't wear the mask in here, wait outside, and we will bring you everything you want, he could have done that. He didn't do that. He didn't try to accommodate. He was trying to...
No.
He was saying, I'm not being political, when he was being political. Once again, if you're a dumb motherfucker, I can't help you. But the thing, I do not help the dumb. This guy is a dumb... I'm not being political. No, no, you are. Apolitical would have been, come see, come saw.
It says in the story that the waitress went up and said, this is political, and I need you to take your mask off. It's a freedom of choice. If you choose to wear a mask in the restaurant, it's your choice. You're not distracting other people. This guy's an asshole.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a total asshole. And I would never eat in this place. However, I'm just trying to say, even Steven, if those, like, you know, the grocery stores were standing there saying, you can't come in here without a mask, and they're saying, but I have every right to shop, and they said, no, this is private grounds, and we have the right to refuse you, then
right. This
guy who's a restaurant owner, he's an asshole, but he's saying, I have the right to refuse service.
And then they said, he's
immunocompromised, but that's the same thing these people were saying. They were lying. But they were saying that,
as I said, all these places had to provide the service that was comparative to it. This guy did not offer that. He did not say, listen, we have a no masking policy. What do you need? Wait out here. He didn't do that.
Well, like Davin, like you also said before, Davin, there should have been a sign on the window of the restaurant or at the podium for a right to refuse over the mask before you even get in the place.
Yep.
You know, and we could still have the debate. But at least they were upfront about it. When you see it on the door, you decide to walk in or not. Or the hostess tells you at the podium, you decide to walk into the restaurant or walk back out. So that was not there in this case. So So for them to sit down and for him, you know. And another thing, not even for him to come over himself. and explain it.
Right.
Sends the waitress over. I wonder how uncomfortable he felt telling people that, to send the waitress to do his dirty work. If you have, if that's your conviction, walk over to the fucking table yourself and tell them that. Don't send the waitress over.
Yeah. And they waited their sweet time and made it uncomfortable. Like, how long were these people sitting there waiting, like, what's going on, right?
You have a window, or you tell them at the podium when they're walking in. I mean, it's...
A California school district sent an email to parents telling them their children will be forced to eat lunch outside in the rain due to coronavirus restrictions. Rain is forecasted this week, which will present an added challenge to our lunch routines. Patwin Elementary School principal, Gay Burguinan notified parents.
I do feel your pain after trying to read those things last week.
Davis Joint Unified School District students are required to eat outside at this time due to COVID restrictions. I'm asking you to send your children to school with rain gear and warm jackets. What? The announcement resulted in an angry response from many parents who took to social media to express frustration with the statement from the principal. Because I'll tell you what, when I have a problem with our school, social media is always the first place I go. I'm not going to contact the people that are giving me the problem. I go, what will Facebook say? That's where all the best opinions come from.
Oh, God. The most informed, too.
Sure. Let me get those sympathy likes, because that's what feeds me. This exemplifies California's response with kids during the pandemic. Reopen California Schools founder Jonathan Zacherson told Fox News, "The inhumane treatment of children continues, from masking all day, even outdoors, to having to sit on hot cement, now eating lunch in the rain." Republican California State Legislator Kevin Kiley tweeted, "Cruelty to children has been normalized in California," as he talked into his iPhone, which was made by China, which is made in China, and made with the cruelty of children. But hey, don't let irony get in the way of this shit. Because we care about the kids. The announcement resulted in an angry response from many parents who took to social media to express frustration with the statement from the principal. "During a heavy downpour, we will have a staggered lunch with one grade level at a time in our NPR for 15 minutes with all 10 doors open and two air purifiers running. After 15 minutes, students will be dismissed to their classroom for inside recess. If you prefer that your child remains outside to eat, please inform your teacher and we will make accommodations to support your request." A parent of two children in the Davis Joint Unified School District who wish to remain anonymous told Fox News that the first email he received was surprising but not shocking given the state of COVID fear in Davis itself. The father of two added that his children are forced to wear masks outside during recess despite data showing outdoor transmission of the virus is less than 1% and the CDC's own admission that schools are not a major coronavirus transmission source. The other parents I've spoken to thought it was ridiculous and overkill. The parents said about the announcement that students will be forced to eat lunch in the rain. I think forced is going to be the key word here. The Davis Joint Unified School District did not immediately respond to requests for comment from Fox News. California has been at the center of the public debate on how to combat the spread of the coronavirus among children, which was highlighted by a student walkout this week organized by groups that oppose mandatory vaccines for young children. "My kids stayed home yesterday for several reasons. First of all, I couldn't get my ass out of bed." Now, California mother of three, Lindsay Bingham, told Fox News on Tuesday, "And for that, I know the struggle, and it is real. We definitely support the movement to send a statement to our government officials that they are overreaching and crushing our parental rights and encroaching on the rights of educators, staff with these mandates." Okay, here's the key.
Well, I got to tell you one thing. When they're saying rain gear and warm jackets, when I used to get a call like that, it would be my buddy Ronnie. "It's raining, it's going to be 40, but we're going to stretch that chain link job tomorrow. Fuck it."
Yeah. Yes, but you weren't a child. You just had the mind of one. You were not a child. Here's the thing. It's nuance. They're giving the alternative to eating outside. They're saying you can eat inside for 15 minutes. We're going to have the doors open, air purifiers. After that, we're going to have inside recess. If that's not good enough for you, then you have to go outside. If they did not give that alternative, that would be a real fucking problem. that would be a real... No, kids. We can't figure it out. Eat outside in the rain. No, because... pneumonia is a problem, too. Not just COVID, kids. Pneumonia is a problem. But they are giving the alternative. They obviously have limited space. They're giving the alternative. Listen, you got 15 minutes to eat your lunch. It sucks. It's going to rain. And then you're going to have inside recess. It's not ideal. And the go-to is, well, this is fucking ridiculous. Okay. It's not ideal. But it is a feasible workaround. So many times we've had a conversation. If they just would have used common sense here. It actually seems like this school tried to use some common sense, tried to come up with some type of alternative because they were having shit weather. Now, as far as wearing masks outside during recess, might be a little bit of overkill, but that's not real. That's not really the point of this conversation. Listen, as a parent, it's hard. Trust me, I know it's very frustrating. You just wish this shit would be over. But I think this school was trying to make a awful situation passable. That's my gut on that.
Yeah, I agree with you. It sounds like nobody said mandated, mandatory, everybody eats outside in the fucking rain. It's not MacArthur Park. Someone made me eat lunch in the rain. You know, I mean, it's not, you have to be out there with water streaming down your face and your sandwich, eating your soggy Wonder Bread. No, calm down. It was, if you are afraid of that it's going to be inside, and it's going to be too closed in, then you can go outside and sit with your sandwich under an umbrella and eat, if that's what's going to make you feel safer. They were giving an option. They didn't say you had to do this. So everybody just calm down. As far as the wearing the masks outside during recess, I mean, they're saying that, you know, if they were keeping their distance, I would be, they're outside, they're keeping their distance. They shouldn't have to be masked. But, you know, they cluster together and they're whispering secrets and they're right up to each other's noses.
Pep,
so,
hold on. How many sporting events did we see that were outside where people were clustered together? I mean, people are and they weren't wearing masks. I mean, generally we've said if you're out and the kids do need a break. And in my kids' school, they get get breaks where they could take off the mask. To have the kids go the whole day without being able to take off the mask, that's too much. That's not the point
that's
of this story. Joe, anything to add or should we move on?
I mean, they had this. The staggered lunch and stuff like that. I don't think the praise it, but I also agree with you. For many parents that took social media to express frustration, I mean, what, you don't call the school, you find an angry face emoji? I mean, what are you doing?
My kid has to eat a soggy sandwich.
Well, I'll tell you what, Joe. I read one of the parents' angry faced emojis, and I immediately responded with a care emoji because I felt like that would remedy the situation.
It does, though.
It does. That's really. I mean, enough. I've written to our superintendent. I've written to teachers. I've written to principals. I've written to guidance counselors. If you're really fucking concerned, contact the people that are making these decisions. You know, listen. It took me a little bit to come to the side that I am on this. But the fact that, like I said, they offered an alternative, they weren't saying, you must eat in the rain, because that would be a problem. if they said, you must eat in the rain, I'd be like, no, that's not really helping shit.
But David, it helps the kids clean off their apples.
Yes. It keeps the clean. You know what? You wash the COVID away. You know, they said wash your hands for 20 seconds. Wash yourself outside while you enjoy your tuna fish sandwich and your Lunchable.
You know, and they even said if you prefer that your child remains outside to eat, please inform your teacher. So, but the key thing is that if you prefer your child remain outside, that's the parent's choice.
Yeah,
right there.
Well, apparently these people don't like when things are mandated, and they don't like choices. There really is no pleasing these people.
No. Well, there is no pleasing some people. There's no pleasing a lot of people.
A lot of women I've dated. But anyway, let's move on. Let's. there was no plea, and I tried. I worked my little tongue, and nothing would please these people.
Get in there, Slugger.
Slugger tried. Sometimes you just don't have the right tools for the job, and effort doesn't count for much. But enough about me. All right, let's do some scam busters. All right. The latest WWE beef pitting. All right, we get it. We get it. Enough. Where are you? All right, we get it. We're going to call Scambusters. The latest WWE beef pitting a star wrestler against a hardcore Brooklyn fan was unscripted and sparked by a bizarre two-year dispute. Fan Eliza Spencer, 24, charged wrestler Seth Rollins from out of nowhere after the Grapplers' Monday Night Barclays Center match with Finn Balor. Taking the WWE star to the ground before staff and security subdued and carried the intruder away, he now faces criminal charges in the wild attack. Spencer told the Daily News he was trying to assist Rollins' rival during the Monday Night Raw show and wanted to settle a beef dating back to 2019 over what appears to be a catfishing scam concocted by someone posing as the popular wrestler. Because you know what professional wrestlers need? A fat fan to fucking help them. That's what they need. Because I'll tell you what, their muscles, agility, athletic ability, steel chairs, tables, thumbtacks, handcuffs, whips, none of that shit's going to be enough. We need the fat fan in the second row to help us. That's what we need.
You say that like it's a bad thing.
I thought you started to carry on. When you started to go table, thumbtack, yeah, it's funny. The accoutrements that you need as a wrestler, yes.
Yes.
I apologize to the WWE for my actions, Spencer told the news at his Red Hook, New Jersey home. I had a legitimate beef, but as a grown man, I could have settled it a different way. If I saw him today, I wouldn't attack him. I've moved on. Are you, though? Are you really a grown man? You might be a grown man. You're not a fully developed man, are you?
It's spelled differently.
Yes.
Grown.
You know what, Spencer? Get your rain gear. Here's your Lunchable. It's time to eat outside in the rain.
I still hold the beef about that.
Spencer told the news he first met Rollins at a meet and greet a few years ago where he asked the wrestling star for help to launch his career in the business. But things went south after he started communicating on WhatsApp and other messenger services with someone he remains convinced was Rollins. He was asking me to send gift cards in exchange for money, mostly $500 or more, to see if I was loyal. He asked me to be a wrestling blogger for him. I wanted to work my way up. Because you know what I found? Some of the best wrestlers are the ones that blog about it. If you can really find a nice basement dweller who's obese and has no athletic ability, but can write a blog about Monday Night Raw, I feel that they are on the path to be John Cena. I've always said that as a lifelong wrestling fan. You know, Hulk Hogan used to say your prayers and type your words. That was his catchphrase.
Is that what it was?
That
sounded different.
He used to say, what you going to do when Hulkamania blogs all over you? I remember it as a child when Hulk Hogan, the advice the Hulkster would give.
You better blog, brother.
You better blog, brother. Woo! The best there is, the best article there was, the best article there ever will be. I seem to remember Bret Hart saying that as he was coming up the ranks as a young wrestler in Stampede Wrestling in Calgary after coming out of his father's dungeon. I believe that was the catchphrase. Anyway. After buying about $3,000 in cards, the check that Rollins sent back bounced. No! Aw. Spencer said he
committed... That must have been the bank error.
Not in his favor. Spencer said he communicated with Rollins through accounts under his WWE name and his real name, Colby Lopez, and was blocked on social media by Rollins' wife, Becky Lynch, who is the current Raw Women's Champion. He posted chat logs between himself and Rollins on his Instagram account after Monday's incident, but none of those exchanges showed anything that would prove he was actually talking to the wrestler. All your true fans love you a lot, and the ones that are fake fans will be fake fans. Spencer wrote in one social media exchange, I am a real fan of yours, until I turn heel and attack you. Rollins, speaking Wednesday with TMZ in Los Angeles, offered no indication of any interaction with Spencer and called for a ban on the fan attendance at future WWE events. It's terrifying, brother, said Rollins. It happened very quickly. Once the tackle happened, I knew what was going on. The guy was barreling around the corner. But wait a minute, you're a professional tough guy. You can't take this motherfucker? Are you telling me everything Are you telling me everything you do isn't script? COVID cough. Joe's got the COVID cough. The hardcore wrestling fan recalled booking a front row seat to Monday's show. As Rollins exited the ring after beating Baylor, the 5'4", 180-pound Spencer rushed the WWE star. Now, at 5'4", 180 pounds, you're not really rushing to too many places. But I digress.
Yeah, really?
Lumbered, ambled, wheezed, perhaps...
Lumbered.
Perhaps better adverbs.
Yeah, but you know what? As far as, like, once he got up ahead of steam, though, that's, you know, physics-wise, that's a lot coming at you.
Yeah.
Full steam. Yeah, he's got some momentum going, and he's got the crazy adrenaline. So that, and it's the element of surprise. He might have given him quite a good pounding for the first shot.
Fair enough. My plan was to help Finn Balor. I'm a fan, he said. I like his aura, his attitude. I like everything about his charisma. I like everything about him. I jumped from where I was sitting at. I ran and speared Seth Rollins. I busted his lip open, and he caught me in a headlock, to Pip's point, he continued. I broke the headlock, and I was trying to get him. Then the referees and security guards broke us apart. It was my dream come true. I finally made it. Seth finally helped me realize my dream. No, he didn't really say that. Police charged Spencer with attempted assault and attempted violation of arts and cultural affairs by disrupting a live sporting event. Slow down.
Arts and cultural events. Look, if there's a ballet dancer and he jumps on that motherfucker, yeah, I got you, but fucking wrestling, give me a break.
An arts and culture event.
Well, it is culture. It's redneck culture. It's white trash culture. I've been a fan of it.
Somebody's culture.
I'm not saying I'm above it, but, you know, whatever. He was given a desk appearance ticket to appear in court at a future date and release. WWE takes the safety of its performers very seriously, the professional wrestling company said in Wednesday's statement. The individual who attacked Seth Rollins has been turned over to the NYPD. They'll be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. It doesn't seem like this guy Spencer realizes that wrestling is scripted.
No, he's not.
Shush!
I love when they give them a desk appearance ticket. That's like being an asshole without a license. You know?
Yeah. So what are you saying? You and I are licensed assholes, Joe?
Yeah, well.
You know what? As much as it's, you know, funny that this guy is a loser and he doesn't seem to have a really strong base in reality. I mean, you guys are, you know, entertainers, and it's frightening the idea that somebody will just all of a sudden, in their delusional state, think that you've done them wrong somehow and come charging at you while you're performing.
Well, Pip, you've been at shows where you have the crazy woman at table 8 that you said something and she doesn't like it and she makes a fucking scene. It's basically the same thing, you know?
It is. And it's like, how many crazy steps away are they, or drunkenness, from arguing with you to rushing you?
Yeah.
You know, I feel bad for this wrestler guy. That's friggin' scary as hell.
No, I feel bad for him. I feel bad. Pardon me. I feel bad that this guy got scammed. I don't think he ever talked to Seth Rollins online. I don't think that happened at all. I don't know. It's sad, but it just goes to show. I mean, the odds of you talking to a famous person are very rare online, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's one thing if it's the verified account. It never said in here that it was, you know, Seth Rollins' verified account, you know, with the little blue check or whatever. You know, just accounts of his, but they might not have been accounts of his. I don't think Seth Rollins needs you to prove loyalty with gift cards.
I'm sorry.
And
that should be the fucking red flag anyway.
Yes.
Well, I have to send Steve Winwood Apple cards every other week, and you'd think that he would have saved some of his money, but apparently not.
I just look forward to the fact when he spurns you for the last time and you charge him. I hope I'm there for that.
I will snap that little elfin keyboardist like a twig.
Please, that will be the one Winward concert I will go to you with. Please. So let me know when that will happen, and I will pay for the tickets. Not the tickets you get after the event, the tickets for the show. If you tell me you've had enough of this Winward and you're going to charge him and give him the what for and how do you do, I am there, girly.
only if he spurns me again. So far, so good. As long as I keep the gift cards coming, we're happy.
I one day hope you will give me gift cards. All right.
Yes. What's your last name? Yeah, I didn't think so.
Yeah. My last name is Breakwind, which brings us to our next story.
Welcome to Fart Stories.
Freshly squeezed.
My finest work.
Clearly.
My reel.
That's where I knew you were an artist. I believe it was a cultural event when you made that. All right. After finding fame on 90 Day Fiancé before the 90 Days as one half of the first same-sex couple to be featured on the TLC franchise, but not featured in a Bed Bath & Beyond ad, the 31-year-old reality star says she's been earning thousands of dollars with an unconventional business, selling jars of her farts. According to a TikTok video, Stephanie posted late November that has since gone viral, she made $45,000 in 1 week from the gassy gig. Now, why do people buy my farts in a jar? I honestly think it's because I have a really good personality and also because I'm hot, she said with a wink. Stephanie added, it's a business. It's a shitty business, but it's a business.
Talk about somebody that thinks their shit doesn't stink.
I don't know if that's true. I think the whole premise is she realizes it does, Joe.
Oh, my God.
So just what does a career in cutting the cheese entail? In another video titled Day in the Life of a Girl Who Sells Her Farts in a Jar, Stephanie shared that she gets things rolling in the morning by having high-protein foods such as beans and hard-boiled eggs. While I wait for those farts to develop, like a small child, I like to read. I'm very smart. I like to read. And then when I'm ready to go, you know, do my job, explains Stephanie, who includes flower petals in her jars because they, quote, attach the scent and make it last longer. There's a science to this, you know. Each jar costs $1,000 and includes a personalized note from the star. Needless to say, the internet had a lot of thoughts about Stephanie's odor operation. Mother of God, I'm done with this world, one TikTok user commented under Stephanie's video, while another wrote, absolutely zero self-respect with this one. However, COVID. However, Stephanie, who founded the adults-only platform Unfiltered and currently stars in 90 Day The Single Life, seems to be brushing off the criticism. In a TikTok video shared on Wednesday, December 15th, she wrote, people judging me for selling my jarred farts. Them not knowing I've made over $100,000 and own a beautiful home and multiple cars. She also defended herself over backlash that her product is a ripoff. In a recent video shared to her YouTube channel, which boasts over 373,000 subscribers. When you take into account the cost of shipping and handling, the amount of food I have to eat in order to produce the farts, the amount of energy and exertion that goes into creating those farts, and that's where it gets you, it's the energy. The flower petals that go into the fart jars, which then capture the scent, and also every single fart jar comes with a handwritten note. That takes time, she argued.
You made 45 G's. Take the time.
You know what, Joe? It's the personalized. It's the personalized touch that makes it all worth it. time equals money. Stephanie added. So when you total up everything, all the effort and the natural resources, that natural reason, there's petroleum in their ass.
But what are you writing on the card? Roses are red, violets are blue. You open the jar, you'll say PU. I mean, I just say
it. It's not bad.
I read books. I'm really smart. I eat beans, so that all thought.
Yeah, that's another card.
There you go.
Maybe
we can have a whole line. We can have a whole line.
Apparently, I fucking missed the boat by not assigning it, because you guys, much like Stephanie, were ready to let it rip. I apologize.
Oh, my God. Yes, let's rip into this topic.
So when you total up everything and all of the effort and the natural resources that go into creating this once-in-a-lifetime product, then it really is a good deal when you think about it. And I do. All right. Listen, man. There is nobody out there whose farts I want in a jar.
Not for a grand, at least.
All right, Joe, what's your price for a jarred fart? Because apparently it's the price that bothers you. Well, how much, Joe?
$10.
All right. Now, whose fart do you want for $10?
I was just going to say, whose fart are you willing to pay $10 for?
I don't know.
The keyboard is from Genesis.
No, that's disgusting. Is it, man?
Oh, oh,
oh, you want girl farts.
Joe, yeah. Joe wants girl farts. Who's, I don't know. I don't know what you find a trailer. What, you want hepatitis Pam Anderson farts?
Maybe.
All right.
Is it the curiosity factor, or is it actually, I mean, because, you know, there could be anybody's steam in that jar once you pay for it.
Now, Joe, when you get this,
yeah, let the buyer beware.
Be really aware.
Would you open the jarred fart, or would you put it like on the mantle like a trophy?
I put it on the mantle like a trophy. That way, the fart will stay in there forever.
Now, when people came over to the house, would you direct people to your jarred hepatitis ass Pam Anderson fart? Did you go, hey, look what I got.
It depends who comes over. You know, if Joe's girl comes over, it's a Trotsky I picked up, maybe from the gay dolphin. If Simo comes over, then I'll brag about that it's a fart jar, you know?
Oh, my God. The fact that you would even be proud to display a jar of farts, or that, it could be anybody's fart.
You know, let me tell you something. He's seen me shop at two gift shops. The Studebaker one where we're on the road, and the Gay Dolphin.
Nay, you also forgot On the Border, whatever that fucking place is in North Carolina.
Oh, On the Border. you see all the shit I snap up. If you think a jar of a fart jar is out of my fucking range, what are you, crazy?
Well.
You see me buy stuff where you're like, you know what, put that down. The fart jar's a better deal. So it's like...
Joey,
in Joe's defense here, Joe likes to have a beach motif, and nothing says Atlantic Ocean, New York, New Jersey like a jarred fart. Because there are times where that ocean does smell like a jarred fart.
In this area, absolutely. Well, I think that if perhaps she varied it a little, put a little, tiny bit of sand and farted on some seagrass and shoved it in the jar, it would be right on point for Joe.
He's got a little mermaid and there's a little fart cloud coming out under her. You know, you get that
there. Well, now we know what to get you. Okay. So Pip...
Now we know what's making the bubbles in that jar.
So, Pip, I take it from your... commentary, there is nobody whose fart you would like to have in your collection.
They'd have to pay me.
So if Steve Winwin comes up to you, Pip, it's great to see you at this other club where once again only 10 people showed up, cared that I was alive, because it's been a long time since I've been relevant. But that being said, I appreciate that. Pip, here is a jar of my latest gas. It is freshly squeezed. I made it this morning. I realized nobody would appreciate it more than you. What do you say, Pip?
I say, oh, Steve. Go fuck yourself. No farts are coming into this house jarred that someone's paid for. We create enough what's it called? What's that, the gas?
Flatulence.
Methane on our own.
Oh, methane.
I don't need anybody else's.
Now, if you could tell me I can make $100,000 on this, and I'm a nobody, and I'm like a pseudo celebrity like she is, all right.
Can't
I get
live
my
with
ass
myself.
In here, so to speak.
Pip, you couldn't do it?
I can't live with myself.
You can barely live with yourself now. Nobody should live with you. But here we are.
Nobody should live with me, but I could not. I do. I know, wait, sit down, listeners. I know this is shocking, but I do have a shred of dignity left. This is where I draw the line.
I find
right
not
here.
Not me. I'd be getting two cases of baked beans, a funnel, and about 40 mason jars.
Aw.
Oh, God.
Joe's into preserves now. That's touching.
Wait a second. Now, I just had a great marketing idea. Dave Mason farting in a mason jar. That's a big seller.
There you go.
Right. And then I would sell it on TV. I'd be me, and then there would be two skunks, two chicks dressed as skunks dancing. We'd do a little routine selling that there.
Mark McGuire rookie fart. Be dialing people. Mark McGuire farted in this jar in his rookie season. Very limited. Stink Mint 10. Stink Mint 10. Get it now.
Oh, no. He left his own seasoning in there, his first season.
I feel stupid that I've just, all these years, I've just been giving my farts away.
To anybody. Wait a second. Honey, did you just fart?
Ah, a classic Rosenblatt joke.
Yes.
An original closing bit.
I reached way back for that.
And that's where you should have left it.
I know. Listen, when you memorize each other's acts so that you could do each other's material, some of it stays.
Makeup's melting off her face, paint's peeling off the car, cows are dying on
cows
the side,
are
of,
dying
the...
By the side of the road.
Did you fart? No, it's Elizabeth, New Jersey. It always smells like that. Mwah! How is this not still in the act, I say?
It's a classic. It's a classic.
Yes.
We should have written up that joke and put it in a jar for you to hold on to.
Yes, we should have. But it is a shame that I just give these farts away to who's ever present. I'm cheating the world. A little effort on my part, a jar, some rose petals, and the way we go. And a note. I'll write a personalized note. I'd be happy to write a personalized note. Here's the shittiest gift you ever got. Boom. There you go.
Wait a second. Rosenblatt's rose petals. In quotes.
There you go. I don't know, man.
Oh, you can sit there and write. The first one I did, I really dread. I meant to fart and shit instead. So, you know. We could be ghostwriters.
All right. How much different is this than buying, you know, a lot of people like to buy used underwear from people?
I knew that was coming up. Oh, I knew that that was going to be part of the conversation. Ew.
Look
ew.
At her. Joe, look at her. She shrunk into her shell like a fucking turtle. Did you see her? She, like, her neck shrunk down, her shoulders hunched up.
So let me ask you a question. If Steve Winwood's BVDs were up for sale, would you make an offer?
I'd offer to run far, far away from them. Ew. So ew. No, that was the fart of the diver. I don't want any part of that. I don't want any part of Mr. Winwood's excretions. Thank you very much.
Somebody's got discriminating tastes, so I see. Okay.
Yeah. No, thank you. No, thank you.
It is weird that the woman who collects everything, the resident hoarder, has found... Yeah, but you know what? I bet if it was at a fucking garage sale, she went, well, it's a really good price. I bet that it would make its way into the car.
Yeah, well, is that new car jam-packed with shit already?
No, actually, no. It's strangely empty.
Good.
Wow.
All right. Let's take our final break of 2021. We'll come back with some scamming scammers. On the break, we have new music from Chris Winner with Could It Be? And In Karma with Runaway Train. It's a cover of that Soul Asylum song, a song I used to really dig. We will be back in a few minutes.